And so let's take this time that we've got left and let's get something, let's get a renewing. Let's get a refreshing from the Lord. Let's get a refreshing from the Lord. But we're going to go in our Bibles today to Luke chapter 22. We were in Luke 22 last week, and we are going to start reading at verse 31, but then we're going to read verses 31, 32, 33, and 34, and then we're going to skip down to Luke chapter 22, same chapter, verses 54 through 62. Is there somebody here? We've got it right up on the screen. Is there somebody here that would like to read it this morning? Who would like to read it today? Sister Mona? And Sister Mona, we're going to have you read those four verses, and then we're going to have you read on. Just read the verses that Carl has up there on the screen. Would be great. Hear the word of the Lord today.
Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me.
Okay, and Sister Mona, then if you'd continue on at verse number 54. Amen.
Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, this man also was with him. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour still, an other insisted, saying, certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed.
Amen.
And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Mona. We read verses 31, 32, 33, and 34, and then we went down to verse 54 and read through verse 62. Today, I am primarily just going to be covering verses 31, 32, 33, and 34, and Lord willing, next week, I will cover that second passage. I can't preach all of this in one session. I can't preach it all in one session and cover it right. And that'll give you a chance, if you want, to study verses 54 through 62 through this week. You can maybe be a little bit better informed about what happens in that passage. So I tell you ahead of time, we will look at verses 54 through 62 next week. But for today, we're going to look at these four verses here. And this is the beginning of Peter's denial. And I think there's some good things that we can learn and get from this. Things that'll help us. And so let's lift up our hands and ask God to help us today. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we know that your word is holy and true. God, we know that your word is light that can guide our path, Lord. Help us, God. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name, to be what we need to be, Lord. Oh, help us, God. Help us, Lord. Let your word teach us, Lord. Let your word guide us. Let your word instruct us, God, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated today. So this passage, I'm going to read this again real quick. Verses 31, 32, 33, and 34. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he may sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus says, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. I want you to look, direct your attention to verse number one. Jesus starts off by saying, Simon, Simon. And that may not seem strange at first, but didn't you remember that Jesus gave him a new name, a new surname? Matthew 16, earlier, he told him, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood. In other words, Simon, son of Jonah, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven, and I say unto you that thou art what? Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. So Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter. But you notice that in this particular instance, Jesus, rather than, if I can use this word loosely, rather than you calling him by his Christian name, he went back to his pre-Christian name. And instead of calling him Peter, Jesus referred to him as Simon. And you say, well, I don't see what the significance of that is. Well, I want to throw something at you today that I think might be interesting to you. Is that, well, first of all, when somebody, let me find somebody here, Brother Shields, if I just came up to you and said, hey, Robert, that's fine. But if I came up to you and I said, Robert, if I said that twice in a row, that's going to get your attention a little bit. I know it'd get my attention a little bit more because I remember my mom and dad, especially my dad, Timmy. And when he said it twice like that, I knew that either something very important was fixing to be said or else something really bad was fixing to be said, okay? And Peter is standing there and Jesus does not refer to him as Peter. He refers to him as Simon and he says it twice. And if you look at the name of Simon, you know, what does Abraham mean? Does anybody remember? What does Abraham mean? Father of many nations. So if you were to walk into Abraham's house and there was no kids turning around, if you was to turn to him and say, Abraham, Abraham, that would have some meaning, wouldn't it? Okay? Well, Simon is a spinoff, if you will, of Simeon. Okay? The true Hebrew rendering of Simon would be Simeon. And the name Simeon comes from a Hebrew word that you would pronounce Shema. And you say, well, what is Shema? Shema, you know, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's called the Shema. And the name Simeon comes from a Hebrew word, Shema, meaning to hear. Meaning to hear and not just hear, but to hear and understand. And they say that by implication, it's not just hear and understand, but it's hear and understand and obey. So Peter was getting Jesus was getting ready to tell Peter something very important. Something that he really needed Peter to take seriously. So he did not call him Peter. He called him by that Hebrew name, Simeon or Simon. When he said, in other words, he was saying, hey, you who listens, you who hears, you who understands. In other words, what he was saying was, you need to listen to me right now. I'm not just saying your name once. I'm saying it twice. He's telling Peter, you need to hear what I'm fixing to say to you. And then he says, Satan demanded to have you. I believe the King James says Satan desired to have you. But if you look at this word, remember how in the book of Job, could Satan just go out and do anything he wanted to Job? Did he have to get permission? That is exactly what's happened here. That's exactly what's happened. This word in the Greek means to obtain permission. Very similar to the days of Job when the Lord finally told Satan, behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand. That's that same deal. In other words, Jesus is saying, Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded. Satan is requesting. Satan, it's as though he's gone before the throne of God like in the days of Job. And he is saying that he wants to sift you as wheat. And now can I throw you a big fat curveball that I did not know? And this is, I'm serious here. When you translate something from one language to another language, it doesn't always come out exactly equal. Let me, Sister Josie, if I can ask you, if I say the word, not we, not they, but you, how do I say that in Spanish? Tú. That would be the informal way, but the formal, speaking formal, how would you say it? Ustedes. So you can say usted, which is you, or ustedes, which is you guys, right? But now in English, do we do that? Do we have you and yous? Y'all, maybe? Hey, I'm from New Mexico. That works real good for me. Y'all. But in English, when you say you, you don't know if it's singular. You got to look at the context. And if you're just reading this, you're going to not understand the meaning until you read it in the original language. And I was looking at this in the Greek, this, and I'm no Greek expert, but I confirmed this in several commentaries. Jesus said, if you can go back to that text there, Brother Carl, he says, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, plural. In other words, all 11 disciples are standing there. All the disciples are standing there, and he says, Simon, Satan has desired to have all of you guys. He's demanded to have all of you that he might sift not just Peter, but that he might sift all of the disciples as wheat. I told you I'm throwing you a curveball. Doesn't that give this verse a little bit different meaning, a little bit different light? He's not just speaking to Peter. He's speaking to Peter personally. But he is talking to Peter not just about what Satan wants to do to him, but it's about what Satan wants to do to all 11 of the disciples. Amen. And so he goes, listen, he wants you guys. Jesus had already had his battle with Satan in the desert when he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he won that battle. Judas had already had his battle and had lost his battle with Satan. Jesus was telling Peter that now all 11 of the disciples are going to have a battle. And then he says in the very next verse, verse 2, if you understand that he's not just talking about Peter, he's talking about all of the 11, now this next verse begins to make sense. Because he tells them, look at the last part of verse 32. What does he tell them? Strengthen your brothers. You see how that goes with the previous verse now? When you say, Satan has desired to have all of you guys, so Peter, when you have turned again, strengthen these guys. In other words, Peter, you're going to be the guy that's going to need to speak encouragement. You are going to be the guy that when they are in despair because they weren't expecting their Messiah to die on a cross, they wasn't expecting to see his face all bruised and beaten, they weren't expecting all of this, but Peter, you're going to be the one that's going to speak some words of faith. You need, Peter, to be a strength to your brethren. Are you with me so far? I want to tell you something else to maybe give you a little bit of hope. When it comes to verse 32, you see this word you again, singular. So now he's back to the singular. And for the rest of the passage, it's all singular. He says, Peter, I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. This word turned again means to return, means to turn around and go back. In other words, Peter, you're going to go astray. Peter, you're going to go astray. And when you have turned around, when you have returned back to the faith that you had, I want you to be a strength to your brethren. And then he says something else in this passage that I want to direct your attention to. Jesus basically told Peter, he had already, when he says, I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Well, did Peter fail? He denied the Lord. Not once, not twice, but three times, right? But you said, wait a second, I thought Jesus prayed for him so that he wouldn't fail. And you said, oh my goodness, sometimes even Jesus' prayers aren't answered. I don't think so at all. I think what Jesus was telling Peter was, Simon, you're fixing to make a mistake. You're going to deny me three times. Jesus knew that Peter's faith was going to fail. So when he said, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fail you not. What Jesus was saying was, Peter, you're going to go astray, but I have prayed that it's not going to be ultimately astray. You're going to have a bump in the road here in your faith, Peter. Peter, your faith is fixing to be challenged, but I've prayed for you that this challenge will not prove totally fatal to your faith. That's what Jesus was saying. He says, your faith is not going to fail you in the long run. It might fail you in the short run, but it's not going to fail you ultimately. So Peter, and let me say something else about this that I think is kind of cool. He told him, he says, when you get back, when you return back, when you're, as the King James says, when you're converted, but it means to return back, to go back, to return. When you have returned back to your faith, I got something I want you to do, Peter. I want you to strengthen the faith of your brother. You say, well, what's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal is. Jesus quite graciously restores Peter in advance of his fall. In advance of him denying the Lord three times, Jesus is already restoring him, already saying, Peter, you're going to mess up. There's going to be a problem here, but I've prayed and your faith is not going to fail you ultimately. I'm going to restore you to a place in me to where you can be a strength to other people. And I don't know about you, but I want to be somebody like that. I want to be somebody that can be that pillar that somebody leans on. And he told Peter, he says, I'm going to restore you back and you're going to be a strength. Peter said this in the next verse, verse 33. Peter did not agree with Jesus. Okay? He didn't agree with him. And let me ask you, did Peter disagree with Jesus in other places in the Gospels? Did it ever go good for Peter when he disagreed with Christ? You know what? Peter needed to learn to just shut up. Okay? Let the Lord talk and just let him talk. And Peter said, Lord, listen, You're praying that my faith don't fail me. I want to tell you one thing right now. I am ready to go with you both to prison and, Lord, even unto death I'm ready to go for you. Can I tell you what Peter's problem was? Peter's mistake was, and this is kind of what I want to center on today, he did not realize his own weakness. He thought that he was stronger than he really was. Peter did not know that he was vulnerable. He did not know that he had a vulnerability. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. You can focus on your strengths, but the problem with focusing only on your strengths is you will leave yourself vulnerable if you get it in your mind and realize and don't think that, oh, I don't have a weak side. I don't have a blind side. You know what? I've got a weak side. I've got a blind side, and so do you. And Peter was saying, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison with you. I'm ready to go to death if I have to. But you know, Paul told the church in Corinth in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, he says, therefore let any one of you who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. You know what, folks? We need to realize the fact that we're all vulnerable. That none of us within ourselves have the strength to really be the person, the Christian that we need to be. It's only with God's help. It's only with God's Spirit. It's only with God's renewing and refreshing of us that we're able to walk day by day by day in the Lord and stay walking with Him. Amen. It's not our strength. And Paul says, listen, if you think that you're standing, if you think that you are not vulnerable, you better be careful, because that's when you're most vulnerable. You hear what I'm saying? Paul wrote half of the New Testament, folks. He wrote the book of Romans. He wrote 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and both letters to the church in Thessalonica. He wrote to the church in Colossae. He wrote to the church in Philippi. You know those letters. He wrote basically almost half of the New Testament, but yet he told the church in Corinth, and I'm going to go back to the King James rendering of this in chapter 9 and verse 27. He told the church in Corinth, he said, I keep my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself could be a castaway. Paul was telling the church in Corinth, he says, listen, I'm the Apostle Paul. Do you understand me? I've done signs. I've done wonders. He wrote almost half of the New Testament. But even the Apostle Paul said, you know what? I have to watch myself. I have to keep my body in subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself could still be a castaway, because I am vulnerable. You know what? One of the best ways of being strong is knowing where you're weak. If me and you were going to get into a wrestling match, I don't want to wrestle you. I'm sorry, but wouldn't you want to watch some video clips of me wrestling to know my weaknesses? Know my weaknesses. You know, I listened to an interview once. I'm not much into the whole fight game. I don't know. Blood, you know, flowing on the canvas is just not really my deal. Okay. I don't follow fighting. I don't follow boxing. I heard an interview of a mixed martial arts guy. And they asked him after a fight. They said, so how did you prepare? He goes, well, I watched a lot of video of my opponent, and I watched a lot of video of myself. And this announcer said, oh, you watch video of yourself. I guess that you get a lot of confidence watching those old videos of you knocking all those guys out. He goes, oh, no. I watch videos of myself looking for weaknesses, because I know my opponent is watching those same videos, looking for those same weaknesses, And if he can find a weakness in me, if he can find a chink in that armor, he is going to exploit it. Amen. So I want to tell you, let him who thinks he stand, you know what? Look and make sure that you don't have some vulnerability. I want to stand for the Lord. I don't want to be a castaway. Look at David. If you look in Acts chapter 13, in Acts chapter 13, it says, I have found in David, the son of Jesse. This is the Lord talk. I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. So if anybody had strength, it would be David. He was a man after God's own heart. But Carl put it on 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. It says, it happened late one afternoon when David rose from his couch and was walking on the roof to the king's house, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was what? Beautiful. I don't want to get risque here, but when you take a bath, at least me, I don't take a bath or shower in my t-shirt. I don't. Actually, when I used to go backpacking, I did. Because it's cool. I mean, you're going to be back in there for 5 or 6 days. You need some clothes washed. So you know what? You're in a high mountain, alpine lake. There's nobody else around. Hey, cannonball. With your underwear on and stuff. Because you're going to wash yourself, wash those underwears. Okay? So, but generally speaking, I don't think that Bathsheba had all that stuff on when David looked out and saw her taking a bath. And all of a sudden, David found that there was a vulnerability, that there was a weakness, there was a chink in his armor that he was not aware of before. He was a man after God's own heart, but even a man after God's own heart is still vulnerable. Even a man after God's own heart still has flesh. And friend, if it can happen to David, it can happen to any of us. You hear what I'm saying? Paul told the church in Philippi, he says, we, speaking to the Gentiles, he said, we are the circumcision. In other words, the Jews think that they're the circumcision, but we are the true circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and what? Put no confidence in the flesh. I want to tell you, Peter's mistake that he made that day was he thought he was stronger than he was. And he wanted to rely on his own strength. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Well, you know what? I've talked to so many people, and when it comes to moral issues, whether it be any kind of moral issue that might be a moral sin, I always hear this. Well, but I feel. I think. Well, you know what? If you're going to be a Christian and have a worldview, the only opinion you have is that which is Scripture. That's a biblical worldview. You know what? If I want to know how I feel about abortion, and I'm not here to preach about abortion today, I don't want to get off subject, I'm going to let the Bible tell me how I need to feel about abortion. If I am going to look at adultery and fornication, I am going to let the Bible tell me how I need to believe about adultery. When you look at the whole right now, what's going on so much in our nation is the whole gay and lesbian and transgender movement. And again, that's another message for another day. But I'm just saying, rather than form opinions based on your observations around you, no, it needs to go back to Scripture, and you need to say, listen, the way that I believe and the way that I feel is going to be a reflection of the Scripture and not my own understanding. Because the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know what? I take the Bible and I exalt it above Tim Wiggins and his feelings. Tim Wiggins and his emotions. Jeremiah said this in chapter 9. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty boast in his might. Let not the rich boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love. You know what? Jeremiah was telling him, listen, you guys think you're smart. You think you've got a lot of understanding. But if you think you're wise, don't boast in your wisdom. If you're going to boast, if you think you're strong, don't boast in your strength, amen. Boast in the fact that you know the Lord. That's the only thing that Tim Wiggins ever has to brag about, is that I know the Lord. God's helped me. I was in darkness. He brought me out into light. I was stuck in the miry clay, but he brought me out of that. He brought me out of that. If I've got anything to brag about today, it would be not the victory that I have won, but the victory that Jesus Christ has won, and that I can partake in that. Peter thought he was stronger and did not realize that he just was not as strong as he thought he was. If you look at another verse, Paul told the church in Ephesus, as he's getting ready to wind down his letter to them, in the closing verses of his letter, he said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? His might. Paul was trying to tell the church in Ephesus that the strength that you need to have does not need to be strength that is derived from within yourself. You need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. It's God's strength. It's God's power. We are kept from day to day by the power of God. God helps us to walk with Him. God helps us. You know what? I want to tell you something. I can't say, well, man, I've just got a heart that just, man, I've just always wanted to seek after God. You know what? I want to tell you something. If God was to pull away His Spirit from me, I really think that the desire would go too. God keeps me. God keeps me. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His name. You know, I want to give you some hope. I believe it was it James? I don't think it was Jude. It was either James or Jude. One of them said, now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory. The writer said, you know what? He'll keep you from falling. And He's going to present you faultless in the presence of His glory. Jude, there it is, verse 24. Now to Him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. He can keep you from falling. He can save you and He can keep you safe. You hear me? I don't have to get up. And this is what I don't know if I can communicate this right. Peter trusted too much in his own strength. Am I right? But can I say this? I don't walk around saying, well, get up this morning and say, well, I wonder if this is going to be the day I fall. Boy, if today is the day that I fall, I sure hope it's after church and not before church. It'd be really embarrassing to have to get up and tell everybody, I can't preach today, I'm falling away. I don't get up in the morning and say, well, I wonder if this is going to be the day. No. Because my confidence is not in my keeping power. My confidence is in His keeping power. That He saved me and he can keep me saved. You hear me? I know that if I will keep pressing on, I'm not going to just wake up one day and lose the desire to live for God. I'm not going to just wake up one day and say, okay, wham, now I'm fallen. No, it doesn't work like that, folks. If you want to be saved, he'll save you and he will keep you. The only problem is we can never rely on our own strength or our own power or our own wisdom. Let me tell you one other thing before I close this down. In fact, let's go ahead and I'll stand today. In Acts chapter 3, he told them, repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. You know what we as Christians need? Renewing. Refreshing. I got up here to preach today. Before I ever started preaching, I was already really thirsty. And I meant to drink some of this water, but I just got busy talking, I guess. Can I tell you that right now as I'm standing up here, I am parched. I am dry. I got up this morning and I had a good drink of water. But I just need refreshing. And as Christians, he told them, he says, repent. Turn back, that the times of refreshing may come. Peter, don't rely on your own strength. Peter, don't rely on your own ingenuity. Peter, rely on the Lord and his renewing and his refreshing. The last verse I'm going to quote today, in fact, I'll shut my lid of my laptop down. Isaiah lived 700 years before Christ. The United States hasn't even been a nation 300 years yet. 700 years before Christ, there was a prophet by the name of Isaiah, and he penned these words. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like the eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Oh God, renew me. Oh God, renew us. God, if we could accomplish anything here today, oh God, renew us. Restore us. Oh, renew us, Lord. Let us get a fresh drink from the well of your Spirit today. Oh Jesus, let your Spirit flood through us again. Oh, let's seek the Lord today, God, in Jesus' name. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I bless your name. God, I bless your name, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Let's all gather around the front today and let's just seek the Lord. Let's seek him. Let's get renewing. Let's get renewal today. Let's get refreshing from the presence that comes from the presence of the Lord today. Oh God, Lord, walk through this place today. Lord, let your spirit reach out and minister to the hearts of people. Oh, hallelujah. Let's reach out to him, church. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, I don't know what kind of mindset Peter had. I know what kind of mindset I've got. And if I had denied the Lord 3 times after walking with him for 3.5 years, watching him feed the 5,000, watching him heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, open blinded eyes, and then deny him 3 times. If Peter had the mindset that Tim Wiggins had got, I'd say, you know what? I'm through. I'm toast. God is done with me. I had my opportunity and I blew it. And I've always wondered, what did Peter have in his mind that made him realize there's still a future for me with the Lord? I think it was these words. When he told him, he goes, Peter, I have prayed that your faith not ultimately fail. And that Peter, when you return, when you come back, in other words, when you come back to the faith that you need to have, you're going to be a strength to your brother. I wonder if, remember how Peter went out and he wept bitterly? I wonder somewhere out there in the darkness if those words of Jesus came echoing in and he's saying, you know what? I've still got a future. I've still got a future with the Lord. I messed up. I messed up bad. But it's not fatal. I've still got a future in God. You know what? Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. That we're not always faithful, but he is. His faithfulness does not hinge on our faithfulness. He's faithful even when we are not. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. God, I love you, Jesus. God, I praise you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Last thing I'll say is I said in this beginning that Jesus called Peter by his Hebrew name, Simon, which is kind of a Greek version of what name? Does anybody remember? Simeon. And Simeon comes from the Hebrew verb Shema, which means what? To hear, to listen, to understand, and to obey because you heard and listened and understood. And he called Peter that twice. Simon, hear, listen, understand, obey. And then again, Simon, hear. You know what? If Jesus thought those words were important enough for him to say his name twice like that, I think we can give heed to that stuff today too. I think the word still rings true to us 2,000 years later. Amen.